You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudet. Back alley murders, haunted buildings, lynchings, and racy movie theaters. This is just some of the folklore of old Boise. These are just some of the things a new class at Boise State University will cover, including Chinese tunnels, architecture, and cemeteries. Here to tell us more is the teacher of that class, which is called Gothic Boise, Professor Emeritus of History and Urban Studies, Todd Shallet. Welcome to the program, Todd.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we should say that the actual class is full, but you still do free walking tours so people can learn about some of this old history.
Yeah, the idea of the class is to take a coffee house and to capture the energy and the conversation that happens in a coffee house around this notion of these stories, and that we talk about it in the coffee shop, and then we're going to hit the street, and we'll take the tours, and people are welcome to come for free, but the actual students will have some special torturous curriculum.
So you have themes for these free tours.
Yes,
and
there's four of them.
So yeah. There's four of them. One is paranormal.
Right.
But one is true crime. And we could talk all, and then there are two others. So we could talk about each one, but let's focus in on more of the true crime walking tour of old Boise. And do you have like a particular story that A stands out or that some people may not even be aware of?
Yeah, well, the idea behind the class is that these dark places in Boise, these ghoulish places, they have stories that are rooted in history of events that actually happen. And then sometimes through folklore, the lore of that becomes paranormal and relates to politics. These are revealing places. You look at these places and you begin to understand why the city of Boise looks like it does. One has to do with a hotel. The governor was staying in that hotel. A serial killer rented the room next to him to assassinate the governor.
Like in downtown Boise and the governor of Idaho?
Exactly.
Holy cow.
He wired a clock to a bunch of dynamite and stuck it there under his bed. But he started to imagine that the ticking of the clock was so loud that the chambermaid would discover the bomb. He had a thing for the chambermaid, he says in his memoir. And so he dismantled the bomb. Later, 70 years later, the Maharishi from the Netherlands purchased a building and wanted to raise it, levitate the building, actually, for an urban renewal project. That building is the Idenha.
Okay, so both of these are the Idenha.
Same place. Yeah, same place. So the Idenha, then, has not only the assassination attempt on Governor Stunenberg, who was then assassinated weeks later.
He was
in Caldwell.
Yes.
Yeah, he was assassinated by the same killer.
Okay.
When he opened a gate.
Mm-hmm. And it exploded,
boom.
Right? And he's got the statue downtown,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's smithereens of that governor everywhere.
Literally and figuratively.
And the statue itself is one of those haunted, ghoulish, true crime places because the statue, according to the lore of Boise, the statue of Stunenberg actually faces the governor's office. It doesn't face the city. It faces the governor.
Right.
And the lore is that Stunenberg is making a Masonic, was a Mason. And in the 19th century, was a giant conspiracy theories concerning the Masons.
Right, around the Masons, right.
Yeah, anti-Masonic party even. And so he makes a Masonic signal with his left hand. So if you look at
the statue, you'll see that
on the statue. Yes, if you look at the statue, you'll see he's got this weird thing with his finger in his left hand. And so the lore of the statue was built in 1929, I guess it was that... The Democrats were using the martyr of Stunenberg in order to keep an eye on those Republicans, see what they might be up to. And I think it's had a lot of effect. I think when during 9/11, when Governor Kempthorne put planters and put tanks and cards and everything around the Capitol there, I mean the State House there for a week or so, shut off State Street. The lore is that Kempthorne looked out his window
And saw
the eyes of Stunenberg as a warning.
That's great folklore right there.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about the Aidenha building, because there are all kinds of stories around the Aidenha. And I have to say, I do not like to go in the basement of that building. I like to go into Guru Donuts. I do not like to go in the basement. It's a little creepy. And I don't know if it's just because you've heard so many stories about it, or if it's just haunted, or all kinds of things around this particular landmark.
Yeah, I think that the reason why I'm interested in this class in this day and age is because it all has to do with, what is truth? How do we know what we know? How do we verify information? And it turns out that the Aidenha is a good example of that. The only way we know things as historians, we're not really studying what happened in the past, because we don't know what happened in the past. At least not professional historians aren't. What historians are really trying to study is the stories that we tell about the past and how they are part of the way we think today.
Huh.
So that's why history is a social science in that respect, certainly in the way I do it. And so the Aidenha is a great example of that, because in the Aidenha, you have things that that actually did happen, and then you have the narrative that's built up around those things, which is more powerful than the thing itself. There's a certain relationship. And so this is an opportunity for us. So in the class, for example, we're going to go to the roof of the Aidenha.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to look at some of these places where things actually did happen. Things that we can verify as true crime, which means they were true for historians, as 9 out of 10 people agree on a particular thing.
Or there's a dead body, so something happened.
Yeah, exactly. But but how do we know that it's really dead?
How do we know?
Yes. So that's and then we get into forensics.
Right, yeah. Seeing all of that. Okay.
Yeah. But so the Aidenha is a great example of that. So in Aidenha, for example, there was the site of a famous trial. It's called the Trial of the Century.
In the Aidenha building?
Well, the international news corporations all went to the Aidenha to do the reporting, and the governor and the Pinkertons, they set up their offices there, and then Clarence Darrow, the famous defense attorney, set up his office there. And there was some gunfights and other kinds of things have to do with some famous outlaws that were there during the trial, right? So from that comes this this lore. Some of the lore has to do with a particular room on the fourth floor, which is the hotel's been reconfigured into apartments. So I don't think the room actually exists anymore. But the story is that the bellboy knocked on the door to deliver something. The door flew open, and the bellboy was killed, shot by a man who was having an affair with a woman in the room and thought it was the husband that was calling.
That poor bellboy.
The bellboy got killed. And so to this day, people tell stories about knocks on the door, they open the door, and there's no one there. And that's sort of like the murder there of this particular bellboy. But there's a lot more to that than that. There's also people that jumped out of windows. And there's also in sort of a neighborhood of Boise that there's a lot of true crime and bloody deeds down the block. You can see from the Aidenha's turret, you can see the alley where Idaho's Jack the Ripper, a guy named Raymond Snowden, dumped the penknife that he just used to decapitate a woman who he met in the bar there. And the Aidenha was in a row of hotels that were there because the train station was down there. It was a block away from the train station. The train station was on 10th and Front.
So it's close to that.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of mystery and a lot of things have to do with brothels and bribes and women of the night. But there's also on that block stories of paranormal activity. Another place across the street from the Aidenha is a place called Mulligan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is really had a lot of lore. There was in truth there was a shooting gallery in the basement, but the lore has to do with the upstairs. which people, you know, say was a brothel or whatever. I don't know if it was a brothel or not, because it's really not from that era. But about furniture being moved around and things being moved around in the night, mm-hmm. and weird electrical stuff. So these are just places where the lore has happened. Another one is Hannafin's. And in reality, Hannafin's, which is a cigar
store.
It's the
cigar shop, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it dates from 1906 or something. But during the trial of the century, there were snipers on the roof there to guard against assassinations, and there was an assassination attempt there. And Pinkerton detectives with rifles up and down that street. But also in that Hannafin's is an old potbelly stove, a cast iron stove,
mm-hmm.
which is the stove that people that are in Idaho lore, like William Borah is another, Senator Borah, and others would get around and talk strategy,
right.
and people got their newspapers there. And so anyway, things have clustered around where the true crime had become the lore. And I'm fascinated by the lore more than the crimes, because the ghost stories we tell.
Well, the lores live, right? I mean, the lores live on in history in a way, and because they're told over and over again.
I mean, what I'm interested in particular is the way we tell stories, what we decide to talk about and what we decide not to talk about.
Mm.
And often they're expressions of fear. So every generation has its hopes and fears, its expectations, its nightmares. And the physical streetscape of the city, the actual buildings, are artifacts of those values, of that paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the city, there are these monuments and buildings and ruins of that you can only explain by looking at the paranoia of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the larger point of the class. This is that we live in a city that is always running away from its past, it seems to me. When we were a bawdy frontier city, we strive for respectability. When we were respectable, we strive to be hip. And now that we are...
We're hip.
And now that we're hip, we're striving to be Salt Lake City.
You know what? We are out of time, so I have to wrap you up. But very quickly, how do people, if they want to do the walking tour, how do they figure this out and get in touch with you?
Yeah, well... There's posters around. It's a February's Tuesdays evening, February, beginning February 5th.
Okay.
And then 12th and the following February at Dawson Taylor's Coffee House.
So just meet at Dawson Taylor downtown.
For a tour at 5.
At 5 p.m. on Tuesdays in February.
Correct.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Professor Emeritus of History and Urban Studies at Boise State University, as well as author Todd Shallett, about his class, Gothic Boise, as well as his free public walking tours about the past of Boise. Thanks again.